AM 980 KKMS brings you Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. 2 hours that look at all the issues of the day, from apologetics to politics, prophecy to the culture wars. Keeping you on the cutting edge, here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program, everyone. This is the program brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, where we are committed to helping you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. And sometimes we even present the inconvenient truth. Now today, let me lock my guest in there, and let me just say, just by opening way of setting the stage, as I always like to do, that first of all, I have two guests. We're going to be heading into sort of the issues of apologetics today, and I want to make just a couple of opening clarifying comments. I have in studio with me Pastor Bob DeWay as sort of co-host today, and I'll introduce my other guest who's online in just a minute. And we've been hearing a lot lately about hate crime legislation. And that's not the topic, because I actually did that about a month ago. And there is one man, though, fighting for the legislation of fighting against hate crime legislation, I should say. And we're going to speak to him. His name is Ted Pike, and he runs the National Prayer Network. And that's not the focus of the hour either. Rather, Ted has been very gracious to allow Pastor Bob and I to quiz him a little bit on his strong position as it concerns Israel and the Jewish people. And I want to state right up front that while there is going to be big disagreement here, that the discussion will remain friendly and hopefully constructive. Now, we're going to go into the topic of current events, second hour, so we can cover the issue of the last week, partly from a biblical perspective. But I want to, Pastor Bob, we've got a great big thing blocking us.
There you are.
Here I am. Nice to have you back.
It's great to be here.
And Ted Pike, you with us?
Yes, I am, Jan.
Thank you for joining us and getting up early on the West Coast.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I will go back and talk about your National Prayer Network and website a little bit later, but we want to get into the issues here of the day. And first, what I want to do is I went to your statement of purpose. Now, again, he heads National Prayer Network, and his primary website is truthtellers.com. Do I have that right?
Truthtellers.org.
Truthtellers.org. And the National Prayer Network's Truth Tellers website, it's a unique resource center that reflects a biblical approach to Israel, the Jewish people, and to America's relationship with Israel. It endorses God's promise to bring redemption to a Jewish remnant at the second coming. So far, so good. That's about as far as we'll get. That's so far, so good. I'm reading from his statement of purpose. And going on in the statement of purpose, yet Jesus commands us in Mark 8 to view false Jewish leadership with suspicion. This is a warning to the United States to be wary of military and geopolitical entanglements in support of arrogant Zionist regimes in Israel. False Jewish leadership today, as in biblical times also, leads the Jews astray, inciting anti-Christian behavior and a backlash of anti-Semitism. Following the example of Christ and the Hebrew prophets, this website boldly reproves that evil leadership, evil Jewish leadership, wherever it is found. This includes the Anti-Defamation League and its anti-Christian hate laws, Jewish-controlled Hollywood and media, Pharisaic leadership in the Jewish religion, and evil Zionist leadership in Israel. Ted, before we get into our discussion, do Israel and the Jewish people do anything right in your eyes?
Well, the problem was that our Lord told us that because they rejected their Messiah, that their house was left unto them desolate. Now, that's a very ominous warning, mm-hmm. because that house had once been filled with the praises of God and the obedience of the great prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and so on, who spoke directly from the throne of God. But when they crucified him and cried, "His blood be upon us and our children," then Israel went into apostasy. She went into darkness, and the spiritual or the symbolic fig tree of Israel became withered. And Christ said, "You shall not bear fruit henceforth." And Jesus says, "You shall not see me again. You're not going to see me until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, for the last century, evangelicals have been saying, "Oh, we're seeing Jesus everywhere in the history of Israel. We saw him in 1948 in the war against Arabs. We saw him in the 67 war. We saw him in the Yom Kippur war. God, Jesus is there and we are seeing him." But Jesus says, no, you're not going to see me leading you and guiding you and blessing you as I did under Joshua and Caleb and those who obeyed me until you say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And that will happen. That will happen. That is the light at the end of this dark tunnel.
But Ted, it's already happening. There's just been an overwhelming turning to the Messiah on the part of the Jewish people for 30, 40 years now, starting with the Jesus People movement and including some of my own Jewish relatives. You can't dismiss the idea of the remnant, can you?
Well, dismiss the idea. I uphold that.
Good.
Yes, there is a remnant of faith in every generation of Jews, and certainly Paul and the apostles were the archetypes of that during the church age. But the fact is that Israel as a nation is not turning to Jesus Christ. Just this last week, you see, Knesset is considering a bill to outlaw with a year in prison not only Christians who attempt to proselytize Jews, but Jews themselves.
Right.
And these are ominous. The fact of the matter is that Israel is going toward the ultra-Orthodox movement very strongly in Knesset and in the occupied territories. The ultra-Orthodox, which are following the Talmud and the Zohar or Kabbalah, are in the ascendancy. There is not a tendency right now for Israel to be turning to Jesus Christ, but that will come after the Great Tribulation at the coming of Jesus.
Well, I need to take issue with your claim that we're saying that we saw Jesus or they saw Jesus or that anybody saw Jesus. I know that some Christians are claiming they're seeing Jesus. I believe that Jesus bodily ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father in authority and that we won't see him physically until the rapture. So Israel returning to the land was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in God's providence. It wasn't because Jesus bodily came and they saw him. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm speaking symbolically in a sense that we see his hand. We like the Hebrews coming into Palestine in the 1500 BC, they saw God's mighty works all over the place.
Okay.
And what evangelicals claim is that we see God's hand, we see manifestations of his continued guidance and blessing upon the Jewish people in Palestine.
Well, what we see
it's
is
Israel.
We see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and there are several places in the Bible that says that God will restore them to the land first, and then later give them a new heart so that they would serve him.
Right.
Well,
that would be the mainly, well, it's all through the Bible, but Ezekiel 36 through 39 is heavy in there with the fact that they do come back in unbelief, and then God gradually...
No, I don't agree with that.
I didn't think you would.
No, I don't. You see, excuse me, full credit for the restoration of Israel to divine favor comes entirely from Jesus Christ. Now, there is a popular idea within the evangelicals that somehow Israel returns in an apostate condition.
That's what the Bible
and then
says.
She gradually is enlightened, and there's lots of Christians, missionary work, and so on, and they gradually are brought over to a belief in Jesus Christ during tribulation. Finally, he comes, and then they're all taken back to Palestine. This is not what the scriptures say. The scriptures conclude that only Jesus and only his blood and only his Holy Spirit can put that heart of flesh in the repentant, unrepentant Jewish people. And that's so necessary, you see,
right,
because all glory has to come to Jesus Christ.
Okay, but you're confusing categories here. We agree that at the end of the tribulation that Israel will be saved, and that they will, and it will be done through Jesus Christ himself. But the scripture says, let's just take one, for example, Ezekiel 11. Therefore, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, I shall gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Now, it doesn't say that he'll do that after they deserve it or after they repent or anything else. It just says he'll do it. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, and when they come there, they will remove all his detestable things and his abomination from it, and I will give them one heart, and they will put a new spirit within them, and I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. So first they're in the land, and then later is the removal of the heart of stone.
Now, what you're basically saying, Pastor Bob, is that Israel can come back in to a land, a holy land dedicated to the eventual reign of Israel's lover and husband and King Jesus Christ. They can come back in unbelief. Now, just think about what you're saying there.
I didn't see it. The Bible did.
No, but you're taking it in your own context. The overwhelming message of Scripture is we're dealing with a holy land, a land unique in the whole world as the place where holy Israel is to dwell, the holy Hebrews, and eventually they will give glory, and they will be priests and ministers of him there for 1,000 years in holiness. Now, the fact of the matter is that God lays down very clearly in the Old Testament that Israel cannot dwell in that land unless she remains obedient to God. He has the right to throw her out, and she can't come back in.
Ted, what reference?
That doesn't even fit with the whole history of the Old Testament. When God first brought them into the land after the 40 years in the wilderness, the next period was the period of the judges, which is one of the most wicked periods in the history of Israel.
I know it.
But they were in the land because God put them there. It's not because they deserved to be there.
God bore with them. He didn't actually expel them. He did it in kind of half stages because there was some faith there, and he allowed judges to come in and become their saviors when they repented and so on. And the list is long. Samson, Jephthah, etc. But just bear with me for a few minutes here. We need to have some foundational theology established here right at the very beginning of this discussion. Now, just listen to this verse from Leviticus, and I am omitting a few phrases to boil it down, but it's Leviticus 26, 27, and 8. I'll just give you a moment to go to that. That's Leviticus 26, 27, and 8. And God says to the Hebrews, if you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And then go down to verse 33. It says, you I will scatter among the nations. And this is repeated over in Deuteronomy 28:63 and other verses, but I'll just limit this to Deuteronomy 28.
Right, but he always says he'll bring them back.
Just bear with me here for a minute, because this is very important. Deuteronomy 28:63 says, you shall be torn from the land as a result of their sins. You shall be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it.
Okay, Ted, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, okay?
Finish here, because this is the Word of God. This is Holy Scripture. I want to just finish this verse and one more, and then it'll be free for all here. The Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. Now, about the return, the promised return you're mentioning, Jan. God says in Deuteronomy 32, if the Jews, quote, this is Deuteronomy 30 verse 2, if the Jews, quote, return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, then he says, then the Lord God will return you from captivity and gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Now your turn, Jan.
Yeah. How do you expect to make any inroads to what you call, and I'm quoting you on your statement of purpose, your statement on your website, truthtellers.org, how do you propose to make any inroads to these people, to the Jewish people, when you constantly refer to them as the evil ones, the wicked ones, implying that they're involved in many, many conspiracies, the Rothschilds, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that with what I've read from you and our brief conversations, you would love to see all Israel saved, right?
Well, of course.
All right.
Like Paul,
stop right there then.
They'd be saved.
Right. But how do you propose to do that, you personally, when you are continually referring to, and I have in my notes at least a dozen references to the Jews and their leadership as wicked and evil. Evil Zionist leadership in Israel shows how the national policies of Israel under leadership of terrorists turned premiers such as Begin, Shamir, Sharon have violently inflamed the Arab world against the Jewish people. This has led directly to international Arab terrorism and 9/11. Well, now you're blaming 9/11 on the Jews, emboldening America in the Middle East for one primary purpose, to make the region safe for Israel. Now, here's my comment on that. Violently inflamed the Arab world against the Jewish people. Menachem Begin, Yitzhak Shamir, and Ariel Sharon have not emboldened the Arab world against the Western world. Satan has. Satan is using radical militant Islam to do what you're saying the Jews are doing. And I got to ask you a question, Ted. In all the things I read on your website and in other places, why not refer to the Council on American Islamic Relations as being one of the biggest dangers to the world? They're plotting our literal destruction. They're plotting the literal takeover of America with Sharia law. They have, they and their cohorts, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, have terror cells planted all across America. But I don't read one thing about that in your writings. I only read about evil Zionists, evil Jews, wicked evil Zionist leadership. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes, I see. One thing you're doing, Jan, is you're moving us away from the Bible now, and you're moving us to the back and forth on the ground conflict and problems in the Middle East. Now, we need to stay here for just a minute. And
I haven't left. Arab terrorism comes out of the Middle East.
Okay, I will comment that, but now we have just read some monumental,
okay,
foundational verses here out,
right,
of God's law in the Old Testament.
All right.
Now,
right.
I'm not going to interrupt you in the middle of your sentences, and I have not. But I want you to allow me to finish my sentences, because the devil likes to get people interrupting themselves and talk like this, because he's the author. He's the author of pandemonium, which means all the demons and confusion. Now, I'm going to honor your right to speak at length, but I'm not going to interrupt you, and I expect you not to interrupt me.
Can I reset the stage for those who joined us late?
Oh, okay. Now we have talked here. We have read here foundational verses that are majestic as the Old Testament, and as majestic as Mount Sinai, coming down, setting the stage for our attitudes towards Israel in the Middle East for all time. God says here, I've got to have obedience. Now, we go back even further than that, and God said to Abraham, let's just talk here a little bit about his covenant. He says, walk before me and be blameless. And then I'll establish my covenant between me and you. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. And then over there in Genesis 18:19, he talks about Abraham, and he says, I have chosen him in order that he might command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Now listen to this one.
That's the last one.
In order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. You see how saturated that is with the requirement of obedience? And then in Genesis 22:18, he says, and in your seed, that is in Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And then he says to Isaac, by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Okay, this isn't a monologue.
Yeah, Ted, you're now cut off. Nobody can hear you, so that we can...
You've been going on and on and on and on and on, and if we try to even... You've piled up so many arguments, but let's just go back and reiterate the idea. Okay. Yes, God does ask for obedience of his covenant people, and he does punish people for disobedience. And he did say, according to Deuteronomy, that there would be repentance and a coming back to the land. And that was fulfilled under Nehemiah. Okay, they were scattered in the captivity, the Babylonian captivity. God raised up a righteous remnant and did send them back into the land. But these other prophecies that we've been reading are about not about that event, but about what happened in 1948. In Jeremiah chapter 32, it says, behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, in my wrath, and in great indignation, and I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. And then after that, he'll give them a new heart. Now, another passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, just in response to what you're saying. Here it says that God's going to bring them back into the land for the sake of his name, for the sake of his name. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to bring you back, but for my holy name, which you've profaned among the nations. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned, which you have profaned. So it's not saying that they had achieved some sort of works righteousness holiness first, and then they come back to the land, but that God brings them back to the land for the sake of his holy name. And then he says in verse 25, after he gathered them from the nations, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And we're agreeing that that doesn't happen until the end of the tribulation. But the Bible doesn't say that for these events in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that they have to achieve holiness themselves by some means first, and then they come back to the land. It says they come back to the land, and then God sprinkles clean water on them.
Ted, you with us?
Well, I'm just wondering right now, if I have been cut off the air as I've been reading Holy Scripture, is that actually true?
Ted, you went on and on and on.
I haven't gone on as long as you have
now.
No, that's not true.
Let me ask you, please.
Are we on the air right now?
Everybody's hearing everything you're saying, but can I ask you a question?
Now, you certainly can, but I have never, I can't imagine somebody cutting me off as I am reading the most simple and profound message of Scripture from the Old Testament. That's unconscionable.
Well, that's because there are so many talk show hosts who should hang their head in shame that they're giving you such a platform from coast to coast, including Janet Folger, who should know better and at least challenge you. Ted, does anybody, now you're big into the, help me with the term here, the hate crimes. You're real big into fighting hate crimes, for which I commend you, by the way. And I know that you're on talk shows, as a matter of fact, several a day. You've told me you have been. But here's the thing. You have an issue with a lot of Jewish organizations, and you basically call them a conspiracy. And one of them, or at least you basically say they're propagating a conspiracy. One is the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. I'm going to be honest with you, Ted. I'm not fond of this outfit. I'm really not. But I don't think that they are plotting against us and creating some kind of a data file on Christians. And I got a clip, and the clip is you. So why don't you play it?
Anti-hate legislation is the brainchild of the ultra-powerful Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, or ADL. And this building behind me is the Seattle branch of the ADL, one of 30 nationwide local branches. Like spokes in a wheel, local offices follow directives and report back to the hub, which is the national headquarters in New York City. The ADL portrays itself as a Jewish civil liberties organization dedicated to protecting Jews from anti-Semitism. As we will see in this video, its long-term goal is to silence Christian and conservative political thought. On the seventh floor of this building, information is gathered throughout the Pacific Northwest concerning those the ADL considers a threat to its agenda, or in ADL terminology, those who are prejudiced. Inside, computers store thousands of secret files on right-wing conservative Americans, most of whom may never have committed a crime, except perhaps criticizing the state of Israel. That is why even people's home addresses, driver's licenses, social security numbers, and personal information are listed in these files, so that they can be identified quickly when such so-called prejudice actually comes to be against the law of the land. Such Americans did not give the ADL permission to keep a secret dossier on them, but the ADL does it anyway. It's part of the ADL's database on right-wing organizations, a database which the ADL shares not only with the FBI and Justice Department, but with local police, such as here in King County. Like the ancient Pharisees, whom Christ described as whitewashed on the outside, the ADL gives the impression of a Jewish civil liberties organization with high-minded intentions. Yet inside these walls are persons with a very different goal, not the elimination of hate, but the eventual elimination of free expression of Christian conservative values.
All right, I'm up against a break, but I want you to respond to that because basically, Ted Pike, you are saying that the ADL, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, is trying to silence Christians and conservatives, trying to silence our thoughts and to store various things in their computers against us and use all that against us, and I want to give you a full opportunity to respond to that. I just have to make an announcement first. And folks, let me just say that tomorrow night, Sunday, April 22nd, I am going to be showing the film of Carol Matriciana, her brand new film, Yoga Uncoiled. And this is a look at yoga in the church. It's going to be presented at Twin City Fellowship at their new location, 28th and Rhode Island in St. Louis Park, at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, April the 22nd. If you have anyone who is messing around with Christian yoga and thinking they're getting closer to God by doing it, because there's no such thing as Christian yoga, it's a total oxymoron, please come on out if you have a friend. I'll have the DVDs for sale. There'll be some fellowship after the showing. Again, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and that's at Twin City Fellowship for Carol Matriciana. It's a premiere showing, by the way, of her film Yoga Uncoiled, From East to West, A Look into the Practice of Yoga in the Church. We are coming right back in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to continue on with my guest on telephone, which is Ted Pike, who heads the National Prayer Network, and weed in some more issues. If you please kindly stick with us, don't touch that dial. All right, welcome to part two of this hour. We are talking, Pastor Bob DeWay and I. Pastor Bob is in the studio with me. We have online from the West Coast, Ted Pike, who heads the National Prayer Network and who is very involved in battling against the various hate crimes that are being proposed in our legislature, though that really is not our topic of the hour. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to truthtellers.org. And just again, quickly, if you'd like to become a CD subscriber to this program, Understanding the Times, it's $30 a month. Just call 763-493-3010, or you can send me an email or give me a call, whatever, to sign up for the two CDs a week to every hour on Understanding the Times. If your station is only getting an hour of this program, it is live Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. Central on AM980KKMS.com, and you can just go to KKMS.com and listen live, and they have a complete rebroadcast Sunday 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now, I made some statements here that Ted Pike has certainly the permission to obviously respond. Are you with me, Ted?
Yes, I am.
All right. We played that little clip of you standing in front of the Anti-Defamation League, I believe in either Washington or Oregon, perhaps it was Oregon, and you were stating there that this Anti-Defamation League is trying to silence Christian and conservative thought, and they're storing things in computer files against Christians and conservatives. And I find, personally, I just find this to be somewhat outrageous, because here, you know why? Because there are other organizations that are so much more dangerous than the Anti-Defamation League. B'nai B'rith, I go back to what I said earlier, we're in a war on terror. They're planning to destroy America.
All right, let's just have a little history lesson here, a lesson on who the ADL is. ADL is the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, B'nai B'rith is a huge Jewish left-wing anti-Christian organization. They have 500,000 Jewish members. They have presences in about 55 nations of the world. And B'nai B'rith, on its own website, says that it's the voice of organized world Jewry. Now, just last year, I was listening to Trinity Broadcasting, and I was listening to Rabbi Daniel Lappin of Seattle, and he wanted to warn the listeners, the viewers of Trinity, that what he called secular Judaism is now, and I quote him verbatim, is now in relentless attack upon evangelical Christians. Now, what he's talking about is ADL B'nai B'rith. In fact, Rabbi Lappin has, I believe, a hotline there for Christians who are being attacked by ADL B'nai B'rith, and he wants to go to bat for them and say that these Christians are not anti-Semitic, that they have a right to their Christmas trees, they have their right to their crosses in public, their right to their manger scenes, they have right to prayer in the schools, and so on. But Rabbi Lappin is agreeing with me that this liberal, this minority of radical anti-Christian Jews headed by ADL B'nai B'rith are in relentless attack on Christianity. Now, if you don't believe me, then believe Rabbi Lappin. Call Toward Tradition out at our Mercer Island in Seattle.
Yeah, I'm acquainted
right
with him. But you're painting, Ted, you're painting with a huge broad brush. You're saying that the policies of the Anti-Defamation League B'nai B'rith are across the board, and that all, I keep coming back to it because it's all over your statement of purpose, that all wicked Jewish leadership and all evil Jewish leadership is to be questioned.
Well,
when perhaps it should just be, as I said, I'm not fond of the Anti-Defamation League, but I do not believe they're doing. Do you really believe they're storing things in computer files to use against Christians, that they're trying to literally silence Christian and conservatives, are trying to silence our thoughts and our comments, that they're just plain plotting against us? That's taken it a huge stretch.
Okay, let me just answer that if I can. Now, as far as there being about 12,000 names of Christian conservative organizations, including pro-lifers, Muslims, that's a fact. I don't know if you could call the San Francisco Police Department, but that all of those names were certainly divulged by the San Francisco Police Department during this big sting operation back in 1988, which I have documented in my video that you quoted me from. In fact, that video, I should just mention, is called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians. And that's an 80-minute video I produced back in about 2001. And that's on view at Google. You can go to video.google.com
right.
and
that's
watch that video and get the whole story of the history of ADL. Now, that's a fact of history. It's all in public record. Now, let me just give you an example of what the ADL has been doing in fairly recent years. Back several years ago, we really smashed the federal hate bill in Congress, and the ADL was very angry. It was defeated in conference between the House and Senate on a Friday afternoon. This would be October 11th, 2005. That weekend, ADL's National Executive Board member, who is Lynn Abraham, she is the district attorney for Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, she gave orders to have 11 Christians arrested on the sidewalk during a huge gay pride rally there. She threw them in the Justice Department jail for 21 hours. She socked them with charges which would have totaled 47 years in prison with $90,000 in fines each. These include those two grandmothers
right.
that Janice Folger is dramatizing on Fox News right now. Now, this was the work of ADL, B'nai B'rith, because
right.
Lynn Abraham, you see, is a top honcho in ADL. Now, the fact of the matter is, Bob and Jan, that the ADL has a record. You know, they were lobbying for 20 years in Canada before ADL B'nai B'rith was able to persuade Canada, the parliament in Ottawa, to enact ADL's hate crimes legislation bill for the nation of Canada. And this has been a terrible thorn in the side of Christians and free speech advocates ever since. You see,
all right.
and ADL B'nai B'rith has this tawdry record going back. I mean, this is a massive record of coming out with lawsuits and opposition, and not only that, but ADL is part of a galaxy of these radical evil Jewish leadership organizations coming out of B'nai B'rith International, like the Southern Poverty Law Center. The ACLU is top heavy with similar radical Jews. We have People for the American Way, and so on.
Hold
and
on. I'm going to ask you to let me respond.
Yes, okay. Sure.
All right. You are, again, painting with a huge broad brush. The ACLU, you say, is top heavy, and it's Jewish and it's anti-Christian. I will grant that it's certainly an unhealthy organization, that it does not exist for America's good or benefit. But then you throw in there these other organizations, the Southern Poverty, Southern Poverty, looking for the notes I have on that. You throw in, again, some other organizations, People for the American Way. These are not Jewish organizations.
They're headed by Jews.
That
Mama
doesn't
Lear.
Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that they're a Jewish organization.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Okay, just to tell you, when I watched that video and I read your material, here's what alarms me: you are saying things where, for example, Hollywood. All right, there are Jewish people in Hollywood, but making everything that comes out of Hollywood a Jewish plot to destroy America. Because there are Jewish people in Hollywood doesn't mean Hollywood is a Jewish place and controlled totally by Jews. And in some of this terminology, like you use this phrase, fiendish plot, Gestapo. So you're using inflammatory terminology. The people here, it sounds to me like, you think all the Jews are just the most evil people in the world.
No, I don't. I never say that. What my eschatology says, Bob, is that the flock of Israel has been led astray today. just as in the time of Jeremiah and John the Baptist, by these evil Jewish leaders. Now, the fact is that evil Jewish leaders have been the bane and the curse on the Jewish flock from the time of their apostasy, before the exile in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and the great prophets of God. They went out and they pointed their bony fingers at these evil Jewish leaders, and God compelled people like Ezekiel to dig through the wall and look in his vision in, and he saw an interior full of abominations as these evil Jewish leaders were leading the flock of Israel astray.
Okay, Ted, let me respond to that, please, and I'll keep my response short. You're using so much inflammatory type, inflammatory type description with evil Jews and their bony fingers. And how, Ted, do you expect, this is a real legitimate question, I'm going to give you as much time as you want to answer this. How do you expect, if Ted Pike were to come up to a grouping of Jewish people who don't know the Lord, how would you talk to them? How would you try? How would you give them the gospel, the saving message of the gospel?
Well, I do that, and I have many Jews who come to my website. They are very grateful to me. They are like Rabbi Lappin. They are grateful that I am pointing out the tyranny, the bullying of these evil Jewish leaders of ADL, B'nai B'rith, and Southern Poverty Law, and Norman Lear, and all this, because these people are giving the Jewish people a bad name. You see, what's happening today worldwide is ADL B'nai B'rith is taking away free speech in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, European countries. And what's happening here is people are realizing that these hate laws are being generated by ADL B'nai B'rith, which are 100% Jewish organizations. And people are saying, those Jews are taking away free speech. I never refer to this problem as the Jews in a collective sense, because, you see, that's unfair. That includes the Jewish shopkeeper and the suburban Jewish housewife and everybody in some kind of a demonic plot to take over the world. But I do, if I could just finish my sentence, but I do refer to these evil Jewish leaders just like our Lord did and just like John the Baptist. You know, people say, well, Ted Pike's language is too harsh. You know, I don't say, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, evil Jewish leaders, are you generation of vipers, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Oh, no, I don't use any rhetoric like our Lord and John the Baptist do. But people pick up, come to me and they say, oh, Ted uses language like bony fingers and evil Jewish leaders. Oh, this is way over the top. This isn't loving.
No,
no,
you know what,
Ted? The problem is here,
no, it's our turn. No, it's our turn now.
Okay.
What I hear in your language is outrageous hatred. That's what I hear.
Okay, I'll respond.
Let Bob respond.
Okay,
he hasn't said much.
Well, let me just point out that Jesus and Paul and Jeremiah and Ezekiel were Jewish, and they were authorized prophets of God, Jewish prophets of God, that spoke for God, and they were rebuking their own people. So it was an internal dispute, a Jewish against other, you know, like you said, it was Jewish prophets speaking to wicked Jewish kings, leaders, whoever. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament. But it's another thing for the Gentiles to do this when Romans 11 tells us that what God is going to do through us is provoke them to jealousy, and that we should not be arrogant against the natural branches, and that we're to remember that they're beloved for the sake of the fathers. And so I would demur from using that sort of terminology.
Okay, now the very fact that they're beloved allows me to echo St. Paul and say, brethren, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved. Now, James tells us, if you're going to be a Christian, don't have respect to persons. Now, in Christ, there is neither bond nor slave. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, when we get over in Galatians, Paul says this, if you belong to Christ, If you, he's talking to the Gentiles of Galatia, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now, spiritually, I am of the seed of Abraham because I give God the kind of faith and trust Abraham gave to the best of my ability. If I weren't giving him that kind of trust, I wouldn't be putting my neck out like I am fighting ADL and their hate laws on the national scene today.
Let us respond.
Let me finish now. Just one
let
sentence.
Us respond.
Let me finish. Let me finish, please.
Quickly.
Now I have the right. I have the right as a spiritual heir of Abraham to have no regard and no respect for anyone high or low. If they are violating the laws of God, I have a right to say, you are the man, like Elijah did. I have a right to put out my bony finger and say, you must repent, because, and this is not cursing God's chosen people, this is a tremendous blessing as I point the way to salvation and point out their wickedness in the hopes that they might be saved and eternally have the redemption of their souls and eternal life with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Well, they're not going to be saved through you, Ted.
Let me just say this. Okay, I would agree that the terms of the gospel should be preached to all people, Jew first and also to the Gentile, and that any particular sinful thing that some person is doing can be pointed out for the sake of their seeing that they broke God's law and they should repent. But to blanket a whole group of people and call them, you know, hatchers of fiendish plots and Gestapo and so on, I think is not going to help to the end that we're going to bring salvation to the Jews. And we are warned about our attitude toward the Jews in Romans chapter 11. So, yes, it's right that we can tell anybody the terms of the gospel and what God's law is, and that if we've broken it, we need the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. But to suggest that there's a huge Jewish plot out there that's going to try to do this fiendish Gestapo-type thing, I think is inappropriate. It's not helping anybody.
Ted, you talk about
Can I respond to that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Now, Bob, you're talking, you've got to be very careful here, because I am very careful not to indict the Jewish people collectively with the misdeeds of their evil Jewish leaders. It is true that most Jews, and the polls show this, are Democrat, and they are liberal, but there are many, many Jews who are against ADL, who want to live at peace among the nations, just like Jeremiah told them at the behest of the Lord, to live and seek the peace and prosperity. They're not rabble-rousers. They're not anti-Christian and so on. I should also mention that latent within Israel, even in the withered branches of Israel, is the possibility of this remnant there, this remnant of faith that Jesus, in his divine foreknowledge, will raise up the literally the dry bones of Ezekiel 38. That promise is there, that out of Jewish unbelief, he can graft those branches back in, right back in with the wild branches back into the olive tree and the root, which is Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, you have to be very careful now, Bob, in giving the impression that Ted Pike is out there smearing the Jewish people and bad-mouthing them and tarring them as the source of some great conspiracy. The fact of the matter is, this is coming from about largely a half a million members of B'nai B'rith International, but we have 14 million-plus Jews in the world today, you see. So we're talking about an evil, organized, liberal branch of Judaism coming out of organized world Jewry, and again here, I am doing nothing more or less than the Hebrew prophets did, in the sense I am speaking, I believe, at the leading of the Lord, in reproof of their virulent anti-Christianity, trying to stop them as they are actually creating anti-Semitism around the world.
We're running
okay.
Short on time.
Well, I watched that video, and it grieved me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's time for us to talk. Ted, I don't know anybody who, I don't know any evangelical, and I know all over your website and your statement of purpose and all of that, You are just saying that evangelicals such as myself or Pastor Bob DeWay in studio with me and many, many others I could list, maybe even the whole Christian Zionism movement, I don't know anybody in those particular categories that accepts all that Israel does and says, you know, no questions asked, we don't condemn, we're going to get cursed if we say something negative. I don't know anybody. As a matter of fact, I criticize Israel all the time. I mean, I criticize her leadership as being full of secular humanists. But that's also the plan of God, is that they are still largely in part blinded, largely, not all, but they're largely in part blinded so that God can fulfill his end time purposes with them in the tribulation and in the millennium. But so I just don't think, I think you're doing a lot of painting with a broad brush, both with evangelicals who support Israel. I think you're painting with a broad brush by suggesting that the ADL is such a conspiratorial group that they're somehow controlling the media, they're influencing Congress, they're influencing the White House, they're war making in the Middle East. It's the Muslims we need to be afraid of. They're the ones who are war making in the Middle East and in the rest of the world, and that there are efforts to de-Christianize America. You're right, Ted. You're dead right there. But it's the Muslims who are trying to de-Christianize America. It's not the Jews. The Jews are finally waking up and realizing that the evangelical Christian is their best friend. And the last thing that they're looking to do is to de-Christianize America. I just think you ought to take your sights and start aiming them at the Islamic world and not the Jewish people. I'm out of time, Ted. I got music in my ears. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.